The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that taught us that black women in Georgia in the early 1900s, they had it kind of rough.
The movie that once again proved our theory that Danny Glover without facial hair, the most evil man alive.
The movie that the Academy used to prove it wasn't racist by offering it 11 Academy Awards, but then giving it zero.
Equality!
This is The Color Purple. I'm Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Everybody, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, your favorite movie podcast, period, full stop, end of story, don't deny it, you know it's true, search your feelings, you know it to be true. We're the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm, of course, E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
We are down to The Color Purple.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg's 1985, very dramatic, sad, based on a book.
Based on a novel, yeah, it's sad.
It was actually very big.
It's very long, very big movie.
Yeah, back in 1985, this movie made $98,467,000.
Domestically.
Yeah, almost 100,000. We're almost cracking 100 million, I mean.
And first of all, that's, I mean, obviously mid-1980s money, which is a lot more than it would be today. But also, this movie today would not make that much money.
No.
There's no way. Like, if you look at movies like this, they're not that successful.
I mean, this movie would make this much money now if Whoopi Goldberg was also the Black Panther.
Yes, exactly. If Whoopi Goldberg was the Black Panther and Oprah Winfrey was, I don't know, Bucky.
Yeah. Was just the Bucky stinger at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then you make that much money.
Yeah.
Because again, adjusted for inflation, $98 million in 1985, $222 billion.
That's right.
Today, yeah.
That's right.
Which I think is $2 trillion. But I don't know, right?
Yeah,
No. It doesn't matter. But anyway, this...
We're bankers.
Yeah. We're good with money.
Yeah. That's why we're doing a podcast about movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of our well-earned financial freedoms.
Yeah, we're independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just do this for fun.
That's right.
We do this and drink for fun and that's it.
Yep.
So, yeah, this movie introduced Whoopi Goldberg.
Strangely enough, you're right.
She was also nominated for Best Actress in this. She is really amazing as a dramatic actress in this.
Yeah.
Also, immediately after this, squandered her fucking talent away by making movies like Jumping Jack Flash and fucking Theodore Rex and The Burglar. And, I mean, you can love Sister Act as much as you want to, but come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a good movie.
Or what, the one where she was the coach of the Dicks?
Oh, yeah. God, I don't even remember what that was called. No, it was terrible.
Not great.
And also, her on The View is just a crazy person now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once you hit a certain age. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm looking forward to that age personally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Once I can just go full crazy pants.
It's your hatred for younger people is so strong.
It's already pretty strong in me, so I'm going to be like.
Yeah. It's so strong that you just associate with the craziest fucking people as long as they're not young people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, no, it makes sense what they're doing right now. They're shooting people. Sometimes you just want to shoot.
Yeah.
And you're just stupid shit like that just because you're old.
Yeah. And insane. I can't wait. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be the best time of my life.
Get away with all that shit.
And then, yeah, everyone just looks at me and be like, well, he's old.
Yeah. You could fuck with little kids.
Oh, and I will.
Yeah. You could take little kids' shit away, like if that was a normal thing.
I would just hit them with my cane.
Yeah, and people would be like, well, he's an old man, you know, like you shouldn't have been around this yard. Like that is not, that's not as acceptable behavior.
Oh, yeah. If you throw a football into my yard,
no, I'm forget about stabbing it through with my sharp cane.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I will have a sword cane, clearly.
Yeah, of course. And people will
both
be like,
an old
well,
curmudgeon, and also.
What did I tell you about going by his yard instead of being like, hey, you're a grown man, stop fucking around with kids? Nope. It's a weird standard that we have for older people.
Yeah,
and I am also very, very much looking forward to it.
Cannot wait.
And it's going to be great.
So yeah, this movie not only gives us Whoopi Goldberg in a surprisingly dramatic role. I mean, obviously she's done some others. She got Ghost and all that crap.
Yeah, she did win the Academy Award for Ghost.
But for the most part, she is known for her comedic comedy.
Yeah, for her chops.
For her comedic chops, her films. Also, she was part of that triumvirate with Billy Crystal and Robin Williams that they always did like fucking comedy shit together all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was at that time,
and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
showing up in the Muppets all the time and shit like that. Yeah. So, but it, you know, it's
marrying
funny.
The hilarious Ted Danson.
Yeah. God, that was a weird fucking thing that happened.
Yeah.
Ted Danson and her married after Corina, right?
I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't have married Christy Alley, Ted Danson. I don't know. Maybe we wouldn't have the weird creature that is Christy Alley now. Had Ted Danson married her.
So yeah, but this movie also gives us Oprah Winfrey. So
yeah, very early on, super chubby Oprah Winfrey.
I guess blame Spielberg. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, and also
blame Quincy Jones,
Larry Fishburne.
Yeah, old Larry, as he was known in his early career.
Yeah, Larry Fishburne before he got sophisticated.
Yeah,
he called himself Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, I wonder what caused that.
Yeah,
maybe at what point are you like no.
I feel like it was probably like three movies in a row that he lost to somebody, and then his agent is like, listen, nobody's taking the Larry thing seriously anymore, man.
Yeah.
You gotta step it up. Change it to Lawrence. Something like more sophisticated.
You're probably right. And this obviously was before Larry the Cable Guy made Larry the most sophisticated
of names. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, before that, Larry was just a joke. Because what else? There were no other famous Larrys.
Nope, never before Larry the Cable Guy was there a famous Larry.
I seriously can't think of one right now.
Nope. Doesn't exist.
Nope. But he's in it. And of course, like we mentioned, good old Danny Glover.
So Danny Glover, who beloved, I think, to my generation.
Yeah, he was too old for this shit.
He was too old for this shit. And what shit was that? Any shit, really.
Apparently, he was not too old to beat and rape a 14-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he does that in the first fucking 15 minutes of this movie.
Are you ever too old, though, to beat and rape a 14-year-old?
I guess not.
I mean, I want to say no.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, not me, personally.
Well.
But if I learn anything from people like Albert Fish or like some of those other weird, creepy dudes that I studied when I was super into like serial killers and stuff like that. No, you are never too old to rape and beat a 14-year-old. But Danny Glover, right away in this.
He's not a great guy.
No, not at all.
Because first of all, the only reason he beats and rapes a 14-year-old is because he wanted to beat and rape a 12-year-old.
Exactly.
But her dad said
not good
no.
enough.
So yeah.
Yeah. This movie fucking starts.
Yeah, let's just say this up front. We're going to make a lot of jokes because that's what we do. And we like to make light of bad situations to try and like. You know, it's like
it's
Jews
funny.
Making jokes during the Holocaust, like that
exactly.
movie with what's his face, that French dude or Italian dude, right?
Oh yeah, Life is Beautiful.
Yeah, Life is Beautiful. You know, we're trying to make it fun over here, but it's tragic and terrible and awful and
yeah,
it's bad.
It's actually a hard parts of this movie are really hard to swallow.
Yeah. So yeah, especially the beginning, which starts off with Whoopi Goldberg. Well, young, not Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, it's another actress, but she's clearly, what is she, like 13, right?
Yeah, I think she's like 13, talking about how her father raped her a couple of times. She had a couple of kids that then got taken away from her.
Well, she said the first one she said was dead.
Yes.
She said that they told her that the son died, and then the daughter that she had got taken away. He just, in fact, it starts with her giving birth. That's what the movie starts with, giving birth. And then her dad just grabs a baby and is like, don't tell anybody. Your mom would be like really ashamed or something weird like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then leaves with the fucking baby. And then you find out that's her dad who raped her. And that's why she had the babies, because he was raping her the whole time. And then it goes into her being like, well, now he's looking at my sister and I don't want that and stuff like that. So right away, you're put through the grinder. Like,
but before you think to yourself, oh, this has like incest rape in it, I'm not going to watch it. Don't worry. It's cool. Turns out wasn't her father.
Yeah.
So it was just a regular old guy raping a 13-year-old.
Yeah. It was a stepfather raping a 13-year-old. Which,
you know, whatever.
Not that bad. Not bad. And also that part gets kind of polished over pretty hard. Like, I feel like that was a big reveal.
Yeah.
That we should have, like, it should have been, like, her reaction should have been way bigger. when it actually happens. And this is at the end of the movie.
It is at the very end of the movie.
But at the end of the movie, to find out that, you know, because also when I was watching it, I was like, her kids are normal kids. When they show them later, like that baby was a normal baby. I feel like father, daughter, incest baby, not a normal baby.
That's generally speaking, that is my understanding. Yeah.
That's just like a three armed weird amalgamation that only lives for like 14 days.
Or is it an X-Men?
Yeah, that's true. Or exactly. Mutants. Mutation. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a very groovy mutation.
Can it fire laser beams or concussive blasts out of its eyes?
Control fire but not create it?
Yeah.
Nah, can it do all that?
Steal skin?
No, usually it just dies.
Yeah, no, you're right. Very, very seldom claws pop out. More often just...
Yeah, just born with the heart outside of its body.
Terrible, terrible disfiguration.
Yeah, exactly. So, Half a brain only. But no, so I was thinking of that too, and that gets answered when they're like, oh, well, no, that wasn't your real father, which I don't know when she found this out, but I feel like if she knew this from the beginning and didn't tell us, fuck her.
Well, so the person that reveals that information is the father's new wife, who is obviously very, very young.
Oh, yeah, because he died on top of her.
Exactly, and probably had absolutely no contact with Whoopi Goldberg's character up to that point. So I don't really blame her.
Okay, yeah. So then she didn't know.
Yeah.
But again, that scene should have been... we're jumping way ahead.
Very, very way ahead. I just wanted the fans to be assured that incest rape...
Yeah.
Not incest.
Yeah. So even though we're going to make fun of a lot of incest... A little incest jokes. More raping 13-year-old.
Yeah, thing. So then you get introduced to the Whoopi Goldberg... Or what was this? Celia.
Celia, yeah.
Yeah. Her like
Celie.
Yeah. Her crusade in life at that point is to trying to protect her younger sister from their father raping her.
Yeah.
And so she's doing that, and at the same time, a youngish. I mean,
that Danny Glover's a widower.
He's a full blown.
He's got like six kids.
Yeah.
He's already got like six kids from his first wife. He's been doing a lot of looking at her 12-year-old sister.
Yeah, 11 or 12 years old. He's taking a fancy. Yeah.
The shot is him glaring at her during church.
Well, service. The Bible clearly says.
Oh yeah, though there is nothing against.
No,
there's nothing against having sex with 10-year-olds in the Bible.
Yeah,
I mean, rape actually at all.
That classic Bible verse: if there's grass on the field, play ball.
Play ball. Yeah. That's Leviticus 14:12.
That's right.
Yeah. So he shows up, and he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna marry your 12-year-old daughter," and the dad is like, "No. You're going to marry the 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Because I want to bang the 12-year-old.
Yeah, I want to get rid of the ugly, used-up one.
Yeah, it sounds like we're making fun. That's exactly what happens.
No, that is literally what he says.
Yeah. He totally is like, you're not taking my 12-year-old. She's pure and stuff. Take the old...
Washed-up
14-year-old that already had two kids.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. That is rough.
Yeah, it's a little rough. Yeah. And Danny Glover just kind of is like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. My house is kind of a mess.
Yeah, my house needs mess.
I got six fucking kids.
Yeah, my kids need mothering. And
I need a hole to put my wiener into.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he takes her. First things first.
I mean, if he had a sex robot, no need.
Again, we've talked about this. Sex robot solves a lot of problems.
So many problems.
So if I could go back in time.
I suppose the sex robot wouldn't solve the raising the kids, but...
Not the raising the kids, but the kids, they'll get raised.
Yeah, I mean, look, she doesn't do a very good job.
Yeah,
Don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming her, she's 13.
Exactly, as a 13-year-old, that's not the best mother for a pack of wild kids.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Especially when their very first introduction is the boy throwing a brick at her face.
Yeah, it's a rough fucking movie. Like, it's a rough beginning, because... He shows up and he's like, "This is your mama," and he's like, "This is not my mama," and throws a brick at her face, knocks her the fuck out, and like,
yeah, she's bleeding,
covered in blood. And then we cut from that scene to Danny Glover still fucking her.
Oh yeah,
immediately
with like a
after that,
on
her head is all bandaged up and bloody, and he's still just going to town.
You know
on
what
it.
They say? I mean, what's going to get your mind off of pain more than being raped by a dude?
Yeah, raped by a dude that's 20 years older than
you.
That's true. And she actually like, there's voiceover during that. Where she's just like, well, I'll just lay there and let him do his fucking dirty business. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
That's their whole sex life, is like she lays there and lets him do his business.
Yeah, exactly. It's and even later, Suge brings it up and she's like, it sounds like he's going to the bathroom on you. Like, that's what you're describing it. Yeah. She's just like, well, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
See, the poor fucking 14-year-old. I got no say in this matter. I'm just, yeah, you know, that's what she's there for.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in Game of Thrones, when the 13-year-old was married off to an older man, she smartly learned how to sex him up right so she could take control of the situation. Yeah, and
manipulate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she should have done.
Yeah, and that's why she's the mother of dragons. And
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, is, like, just beaten most of her life.
Yeah. That's why I thought the movie was called The Color Purple.
Because of the bruises?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be insensitive. I mean, the actual meaning of it is a lot more beautiful than, like,
very
meaningful
is.
And stuff. Yeah. But I thought the whole time that's why it was called The Color Purple.
Yeah, so I'd never seen this movie before.
Yeah, me neither, actually.
Yeah, surprisingly, neither one of us.
I'm glad that I saw it because it's really good.
It is a very good movie. We're skipping ahead, but yeah, it's very good.
It's a very interesting fucking movie. Steven Spielberg did a very interesting job with this.
There's a way more levity than... So, after this first just super depressing part of the movie, there's a lot of levity throughout the middle section.
Yeah, so she's married. Danny Glover does this thing where she's just combing one of his daughter's hair, and the daughter's making a lot of noise, and Danny Glover's like, shut her up, and he's like, I can't. She's like, I can't. Like, it hurts her. And he just stands up and smacks her as hard as he fucking can across the face, and he's like, don't ever sass off to me. Like, don't ever say no to me.
Yeah.
And that sets up their whole relationship.
Yeah, pretty much.
So then we know that he's raping her. We know that he's beating her nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is fucking rough as fuck. But then her sister shows up because she finally got away from their dad who was raping her. And it's just like very nice, like whimsical music and like a lot of fun playing. And she's teaching her how to read.
Yeah.
And she's doing this super cute thing where she's putting like writing the words on like wax paper and sticking them to the things that they are.
Yeah.
Really cute. And like, and again, it's a juxtaposition to they're just kids. Like, it's showing you, oh, they're just children.
Yeah, they really are just children. Yeah.
Despite all the raising other children and being raped.
Yeah.
They're just kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we take the turn where Danny Glover obviously still wants to bang her.
Yeah. So he tries to rape her. She belts him in the balls.
With the books. With the book bag, yeah.
With like a book bag and gets away. And then like, he then... out of anger, shame, he kicks her off his farm.
He literally picks her up and throws her out of the fucking farm.
Like,
and tells her like, you're never gonna talk to your sister again.
Yep.
And then the sister's like, only death will keep us apart or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then we just keep going more into Danny Glover beating her until Suge shows up.
Yeah, pretty much. There's some time skips and stuff, and the sister obviously leaves. And, I mean, well, you know, what was Danny Glover supposed to do? I mean, she wouldn't let him rape her, so.
Yeah, exactly. And he tried really hard.
Yeah, he tried.
It's Jesus. A really creepy scene where she's walking in this field, and Danny Glover rides up on this horse, and he's, like, by these shrubs, and she kind of, like, gets a sense, so she starts walking faster, and he's, like, riding up next to her, like, really staring at her, and then he keeps going through these bushes and shrubs and shit, and then she comes out, and then the horse comes out by itself. And then, so Danny Glover's not there anymore, so she starts freaking out, and then sure as fuck, that's when he comes out and tries to rape her.
So what I'm hearing from you is the horse was in on it, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
for
the
sure.
Horse was like, oh, no, man, you're totally going to rape this girl. Like, look, jump off me. I'll keep going.
That's the thing about horses. They're always down for whatever you're doing.
They are really down for it.
Whether it is raping a 13-year-old or fucking, like, herding cattle.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're into it.
Or riding or going to into death.
War. Yeah, they're going into war for you.
They're down really for the whatever.
Ultimate wingmen. They really are.
Yeah, yeah. You have a story about a horse, right?
Oh, I have a lot of stories about horses. I mean, there's the story about the horse that helped me rape a girl.
But, yeah, that's true.
I mean, woo.
They're not all bestiality stories. Woo a girl. Woo a girl is what I meant to say in that sentence.
No, horses are super cool. Like, I used to ride quite a bit as a younger man, and... horses, more than on one opportunity, had a chance to kill me.
Chose not to kill you, yeah.
Because horses, real bros.
Yeah, as opposed to elephants who kill you at the fucking drop of a hat.
They will just destroy you.
But no, horses are down for whatever. Whatever you're doing, horses are down for. So, Danny Glover wanting to rape this 13-year-old, the horse was down and in on it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He was part of the joke. He was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. You get on my back.
And morally,
I will go.
Horses, maybe, you know, they got some problems, but...
Yeah. Why do you think all bestiality porn has horses in it?
I just assume that's their thing. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's their
the
horse. Thing.
I was talking about the people, but I suppose the horses too.
Yeah, the horses have to get hard and shit.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, they have to grow a 14 foot penis that they do, and then fuck a human person.
Yeah, do you that's think not that's what thing. Horses are thinking about the whole time? The whole time that you're riding a horse, they're just like, God, I really want to fuck a lady.
Yeah. Just like there's somebody on your back and he's just like, God damn it. I want to bang one of these humans. I heard it's really awesome. Yeah,
they've been riding me this whole time. I want to get back at them. I feel like if I bang a human chick, that'll really show this motherfucker what's up.
Yeah. It's like when you talk to somebody who really wants to bang like a certain race or ethnicity.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, man, I've never been with an Asian chick. I really want to be with an Asian chick. Like, I feel like that's what horses are, but with humans.
But with humans, yeah. Their friend got with a human chick. They're like, oh, God damn it. Speedball got with a human chick?
Yeah, I heard it's really awesome. I heard that they're the best.
Oh, yeah, he was talking nonstop about it at the bar, at the hay stack the other day.
Yeah. He was talking about how awesome it was, and they were taking pictures, and then he just climbed it, and they went in there, and then he was done, and it was good for him. So yeah. I feel like, yeah. I had an Uber ride in El Paso one time where all the guy talked about was how he wanted to bang an Asian chick.
Really?
Yeah.
Uber ride?
Yeah, my Uber ride. It was like this Cuban guy. Like his accent was super Cuban thick. And then he was just talking about – I don't even remember. Oh, he was talking about chicks for some reason. Like, oh, there's a lot of girls because I asked him like where would be cool to go. He's like, there's a lot of girls over there. There's a lot of girls. And then he's just like, there's a lot of Asian girls over there, which is really cool. And then he went off on how he's never been with an Asian girl. But he always wanted to be with an Asian girl. And then it was like a 15-minute ride of just him talking about how much he wanted to be with an Asian girl.
Wow.
Yeah. I gave them like 5 stars. 5 stars, a $2 tip that guy got. That sure beats that, hey, it's a nice weather we've been having, huh? You're from here? What's going on with you? Like,
I guess it is some spice.
That's some good, Uber talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man to man.
Speaking of spice, things get a little spicy when Danny Glover has been cheating on her for a very long time with a woman named Shug, who then comes to live with them.
He's not cheating on her. He's just getting letters from her because they used to be like a thing, right?
No, they talk about, because she talks about having sex with him.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And he talks about it too later. Yeah. He's like, oh, about having her and all that.
Yeah.
But every time the mailman comes, he gets super fucking excited. Runs out. He even brings a mailman cookies.
He's weird.
Which is ridiculous.
It is Danny Glover's character is weird because he's super abusive asshole, but he's also like a super happy puppy dog around Shug. It's a really weird, like.
It's a weird juxtaposition, of him being like. Because I guess that makes sense. He treats Whoopi like shit.
Yeah.
But he fucking idolizes Shug and holds her up on this fucking pedestal. And so the whole time he gets these letters and they're all like, just like, hey, this is what's going on. And then also there's like a flyers because she's a singer.
She is a famous singer.
At juke joints.
Around those parts. Yeah. Yeah. Juke joints all around, I guess, that particular part of Georgia.
So he gets super excited. So then eventually, bang, Shug is showing up.
And how does she show up, you might wonder? Does she show up all fancy and looking great?
No, in the coolest fucking way you can show up. Face down in the back of a horse carriage, drunk off your ass, in the rain.
Yeah.
So just your legs are sticking out. And that's exactly what it was like. It was like he rolled up with a fucking corpse in the back.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was just high heels sticking out the back. And he doesn't even know what the fuck is going on. Harpo shows up and he's like, Dad, who is this? And then Danny Glover's like, this is the woman who should have been your mama.
Yeah.
Like he says that in front. And then Whoopi gets super like excited and weird and she wants to like clean up for her.
Yeah. So she gets starstruck a little bit almost.
Yeah. She runs down and she can't. She's like, I couldn't until I saw her eyes. I couldn't say anything or move. And then the first thing Shug says is like, boy, aren't you ugly? And then laughs really hard. And then that's it.
Right in her face.
Yeah. Square in her face.
You might think would cause them to be enemies throughout the film. Quite the opposite. They're best friends.
Yeah. And Danny Glover is so obsessed with her that he offers to make her breakfast. And here's the thing about this movie. This is a movie about being beaten through your whole fucking life.
Yeah.
This is a movie, everybody, all these women get beaten through their whole fucking life. Really rough, raped, beaten. Oprah gets it the fucking worst.
Like open racism.
Open crazy open, racism. Open
like misogyny. Just terrible, terrible lives these women all have.
This movie actually really funny.
Yeah, it has some funny bits.
Yeah. Really, really funny. There, that part where Danny Glover's trying to cook, really funny. It's a lot of physical gags, too.
Yeah, it really is. And there's Whoopi Goldberg trying not to laugh the whole time.
Yeah, because he doesn't know how to work the stove. Yeah. He doesn't know where she's keeping shit.
I mean, there's like classic slapstick shit where like pans fall on his head. Yeah. Like it's straight up cartoon like character ridiculous. Shit. Yeah.
And one of the biggest laughs, it was like he can't get the stove to go to melt the butter. So he goes and he gets a big bottle of kerosene. And Whoopi Goldberg is just watching him and being super entertained on this rocking chair. He comes back with the bottle of kerosene and it cuts to the rocking chair just by itself.
Yeah.
Because Whoopi Goldberg ran the fuck out of there. That is some like Marx Brothers shit.
It
like,
is very good.
It is very cartoony and like over the top comedy. And there's a lot of it in this movie. And it's pretty well done. Pretty smart, I think, to like make the funny stuff really funny. Because then the shitty stuff is really shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's true to life. I mean, You have ups and downs, I suppose.
Yeah. Also, the character of Shug, so many fucking people passed on this role, and so many people were offered this role, including Chaka Khan.
Okay, that makes sense.
Tina Turner.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Patti LaBelle and Diana Ross.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
All the trifecta. Yeah, so all three of them passed on it, and then Phyllis Hayman, Lola Falona, who are also like 80s singers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They all passed on it because they thought they couldn't handle that part.
From the acting standpoint?
Yeah, yeah.
That's surprisingly self-aware.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
I feel like it's actually because they weren't offering them much money.
A lot of money because yeah. they were big, big stars. Because
they were big stars, yeah.
Because Margaret Avery was not a big star when she got this part. And she knocked it out of the park. Nominated for Best Actress. No, Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
All of them nominated for Best Supporting, except for Whoopi, Best Actress, right?
Oprah was nominated. She was nominated. Whoopi was nominated.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg, not nominated.
Yeah, interesting.
Best Picture nominated. Best Score. Makeup.
Best Makeup, yeah. So this movie, and I did want to mention this, nominated for 11 Oscars, this movie. 1-0.
Zero Oscars.
Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, nominated for 11 Oscars, won all of them.
Well, I mean, this movie is no Return of the King.
Although, this movie did have as many endings as Return of the King.
That is fair.
Watching that, yeah. This movie ended 25 minutes after it should have ended.
Yes, this movie does have a lot of potential endings. It's a long movie.
Yeah, it is. And it does the same thing where it ends every character's fucking arc in that last 25 minutes.
And then it kind of ends them again.
Yeah. Again, like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So similarities to Lord of the Rings, I would say.
I mean, in the way
that Kennedy and Lincoln have similarities to each other.
Okay, so new idea for this movie. Whoopi Goldberg gets a sword.
Yeah.
Magic sword, obviously.
Clearly.
Sword
or ring?
Sword.
What if Whoopi Goldberg just got a hold of the one ring?
Whoopi Goldberg, okay. And
She can be invisible. And
her stepdad is Sauron?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, she's being corrupted by the ring. I don't know where that comes into play, but who's Danny Glover then? Clearly Gandalf.
Sure. I mean, at the end when he has the big beard and he's helping her out.
That's true. He does help her out. He has a turnaround.
He has a turnaround once he grows facial hair because Danny Glover with facial hair.
Good guy.
Dude. Such a good guy.
Yeah. Danny Glover, no facial hair. Most evil man alive.
Most evil man alive.
We talked about that in the Witness episode. He kills another fucking cop in the bathroom.
In like the first 2 seconds.
Yeah. He's the bad guy in that movie. Kills a lot of people. Gets a lot of people killed is what I should say. And this one, he's the worst fucking human being up until he grows some facial hair. Then a nice old man.
Yeah. which kind of unearned.
No, yeah. We talk, it gets very saccharine at the end.
Yeah, I don't really
unnecessary
like
for him to. Yeah. Movie ends too late.
I do wonder.
It should have ended with him on the floor with that fucking goat.
I've never read the book, so I don't know how much of this is different from the book. But yeah. I do wonder about stuff like that, if that's true to it.
Especially this movie where Steven Spielberg clearly uncomfortable with the...
Well, you said he didn't want to do it at first.
Yeah, Quincy Jones talked him into doing it. Also, so he didn't... Steven Spielberg did not want to do the movie. Quincy Jones approached him with it. He said, you know what? I have nothing in common with with the struggle of African-Americans. Like, that's not my struggle. And Quincy or Jones.
Women, for that
matter. Yeah, or women, exactly. Quincy Jones gives him this nugget of of insight that I feel is ridiculous. He told him, all right, when you made E.T., you're not an alien, but you made E.T., right? That makes no fucking sense because E.T. is about a little boy, not the alien. And clearly, Steven Spielberg was at one point a little white boy. You know, like that's the main character. The alien is the main character. It's like saying, like, you can associate.
I think the point he's trying to make is you can empathize with other people's situations without going through them yourselves.
Yeah, that's true. But empathize with the alien? No, you empathize with a little boy.
Yeah, no, you absolutely. E.T., you're talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're seeing it through the boy's point of view.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's not a good argument, but good enough to get Spielberg to direct this. He does an amazing job.
Yeah, no,
it's
very good.
But he did not want to direct it. And you kind of get, I feel like Spielberg now that makes this movie, he cut some stuff out from the book. And maybe like because of his unsureness about it, he really stuck to a lot of shit in the book in it that he didn't have to.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Because again, with the multiple endings and everything, there's stuff that really doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, there's a lot of the stuff in Africa is kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And feels out of place. The endings are weird and feel out of place sometimes. And then they don't ruin the movie.
No, the movie as a whole is good, but it does feel like it doesn't flow in the same way that you would normally think a movie should.
Yeah.
Like, it's very disjointed. It very much feels like chapters in a book, which is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
There's so many things in here that are just a fucking book.
Yes.
You could sense it. If you didn't know that, if I didn't know that this was based on a book,
you would still
guess. I would be like, this is based on a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what isn't based on a book?
Our sponsors.
Best segues ever in the business.
So, sponsor number one, Beer Geek Bakery. Beer Geek making the very best pastries out of craft beer all over Southern Arizona. Follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Facebook. Find out about all the amazing events, delicious, delicious snacks, and save some money. Mention the podcast, get $1 off.
Yeah, she's got events all over town all the time. So, stay on top of that.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Second sponsor, People's Choice Video, for providing the movie. You can go to People's Choice and rent A Color Purple and watch it.
Yeah, People's Choice Video. We've never mentioned it before, but it actually has two locations. So
yeah, that's definitely true. There's one up in Waukegan, Illinois.
Listening from Waukegan. If you're up in the Chicago area.
Yeah, if you're up in the birthplace of Ghost Rider, Waukegan, Illinois. That's true. I looked it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can.
Was that now? I assume you're talking about. Yeah, I was going to say not Johnny Blaze. You're talking or.
Yeah, like, it is.
No, it's Johnny Blaze. Yeah, Danny Ketch was the second one.
Yeah, Danny. Yeah. So Johnny Blaze, birthplace, Waukegan, Illinois.
Yeah.
That's where he's from. Up north of Chicago and kind of the lake area, there is another People's Choice Video up there.
Check them both out. They both have the best deals on movies.
Games,
adult films, buy, rent, sell, trade, everything that you want in a classic 90s and 80s movie store.
Video store,
yeah.
All right. Thank you, People's Choice.
Thanks.
So, Oprah does an amazing fucking job in this movie, too. She was nominated, I think, right away.
What's your feelings on Oprah?
As a whole?
Yeah, as a whole.
I don't know. She's a fucking powerhouse. Like, what can you say?
Why is she a powerhouse?
Because she had the best talk show ever. I mean, arguably. Movie-wise, though, she does this. She did Beloved. She's in Wrinkle in Time. She's doing more movies now that she's not doing the show.
She may run for president.
Yeah, she may run. There's a lot of talk about her running for president.
Because we are at a position in this country
where anybody can be president.
Where literally the best qualification for president is being famous already.
The most famous person gets to be president.
Yeah, might as well elect fucking Justin Bieber and Beyonce.
Justin Bieber's not that famous anymore. But I don't even know who's famous anymore. Because everybody fucking takes turns being famous.
Yeah.
But Oprah in this movie cannot be president.
Will Black Panther and Iron Man ticket?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Iron Man might take it.
Yeah. Iron Man, Black Panther, 2020 or whatever.
How awesome would that be if they did that? And it just went with Iron Man, Black Panther. Yeah. Like, look how fucking much money Black Panther is making and how much money Infinity War is going to make.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What if they just ran for president? like a legit run for president. Because it used to be a joke. Stephen Colbert ran for president. That was a big, you know, like a big joke to teach us some shit.
Yeah. Now very serious.
Very serious. You could totally win that shit.
Yeah.
I still wish Schwarzenegger would run.
He can't.
Yeah, he wasn't born here.
He wasn't born in the U.S.
God damn it. And he's doing some cool shit now.
Yeah.
He's like suing like states for fucking... He's doing a lot of really cool like political shit now.
Yeah. I think Schwarzenegger actually has always been pretty like smart when it comes to that kind of stuff. The only thing that really like tripped him up was... Whoever his speechwriter was insisted that he constantly quote his own movies.
Yeah.
Like, I will terminate the debt in California.
I will be back. Like he would say
constantly.
So it was just a big joke. Yeah. And also he became governor of fucking California when California first took a dump in the fucking sewer, and there was no bringing it back, no matter who was fucking governor.
Yeah.
All right. Let's not talk about politics during this movie.
Oh, let's do it. Movie has nothing to do with politics. It's just about poor black women being beaten into submission by the incredible abuses of powers that everyone else has.
So Oprah Winfrey has a crazy character arc in this movie. She's fucking awesome. She also deserved the Academy Award in this movie, sure. I think. Because her arc is the biggest, the craziest. It's a super like tragic and heartbreaking. But
I think her arc is very... not her arc. Her arc is really good. Her acting is very
like heavy-handed, you think?
A little bit. Yeah.
Maybe hamming it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But she's fucking badass.
She is pretty great. So when we get introduced to her, we get actually introduced to her as like the young woman that Harpo, Danny Glover's oldest son is marrying.
Because he knocked her up.
And she's this big girl that takes no shit.
She takes no shit.
No shit.
Not that Danny Glover bullshit. Yeah.
Danny Glover, like she like argues with Danny Glover. Finally, her and Harpo move in together. Harpo's like, oh man, she's like, I'm having a hard time. Like she's always telling me what to do.
She's treating him like an equal, which is like, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like I tell her,
we're
like,
both supposed to raise the kids. Exactly. Since when?
Like I'm trying to fix this roof. She expects me to like also mind when the babies are crying. I don't know what that's all about. I come home from work. She tells me to get my own lemonade. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. So this scene happens. He's really upset about it. But to be fair, though, she calls him over. He goes over there. And then the baby's crying. And she's like, go take care of the baby. Or no, she's like, I got to take care of the baby. But she's like hoeing the yard.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's not working.
Oh, no. She's busting her fucking ass.
Yeah. So then he tells Whoopi Goldberg, like, I don't know what to do. And it's this great
shot. And Danny Glover the whole time has been telling her, like, you got to beat the shit out of that lady.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's too afraid.
Yeah.
But he tells Whoopi Goldberg, and then Whoopi Goldberg gives him that weird look, and then is like, beat her. Like, she's a really crazy, like... Because it's all she knows.
Yeah, it is all she knows. And it is one of those, like, the cycle of violence kind of things. But, yeah, it's really, like...
He's like, you know how you
take care
of this.
It's a moment when you're watching the movie where you're just like, fuck.
Ooh, yeah. That fucking sucks. Yeah. Cut to, he has a giant black eye. Like, Oprah beat the fuck out of him.
Again, weird use of comedy, but really
very
funny.
Very effective, really fucking funny. Hey, very, like, and I don't know how the book is, but really, like, making light... Not making light, but breaking up the seriousness of it. And so it cuts to him. He has a giant black eye and he's trying to explain to Danny Glover that he got kicked by the mule.
Yeah.
And Danny Glover's like, that looks like a fist. And he's like, no, nobody would raise a fist at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it becomes this weird thing where like their relationship is where they just beat each other.
Yeah.
And then fuck and have like eight
more
kids.
Babies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's he clearly cannot take her.
Yeah.
So he tries to beat her. And then she beats him, and then he tries to beat her more, and then she beats him. And then it ends with her taking the kids and, like, leaving him.
Yep. So then, of course, what does any young man do when his wife and kids leave him? He rips down their house and builds a bar.
A juke joint. He, in the back, like, in the fucking swamp.
Yeah.
He just makes a makeshift fucking house.
That's what you can do in Georgia in the early 20th century.
It's already been established that he's shitty at building shit.
Oh, he's terrible. Because
he keeps falling through fucking roofs.
His bar is not very, like, his juke joint is
falling
floating.
Apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is not stable in any way.
No.
So he builds Harpo's.
If anyone like could sue back in the day, there would be so many lawsuits.
Oh yeah, that shit is just fucking.
There's a lot of people that fell into the swamp and got eaten by gators.
Yeah, yeah. He just went and tore up like the fucking the railroad and built it out of railroad stacks. And but he's super excited because Harpo is gonna sing at it.
Because Suge.
Yeah, I mean Suge is gonna sing at Harpo's. I'm sorry, yeah. Suge is gonna sing at Harpo's. And Suge sings in this great scene where all these guys are just leering and hanging off the rafters and super into her. And then she's like, I'm going to sing this new song. And I call it, was it Celie's Blues?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or Bruise or something. Like, yeah. It's all about her getting beaten.
Yeah, which is a whole song about her getting beaten. And everybody's kind of taken aback. And Celie's taken aback by it. And then we follow this up with a fucking curveball. Some lesbian action.
Yeah, out of nowhere, she makes a move on Whoopi, and Whoopi's like, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, they kiss. They have, and apparently, in the book, it's a lot heavier than that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because everything that Whoopi does after that, you can definitely sense that she's in love with her.
Whoopi's infatuated, or in love, but yeah, she's definitely all about it. And she tries to leave with her at first, but Suge is having no part in it.
No, she's just like, I'm out.
Yeah. And so she leaves, and things go back to just bad. More time skips. Eventually, Suge comes back with a husband.
Well, we have a huge time skip, and it's set up pretty nice. It's Oprah.
Right. So, Oprah's the Oprah bit. So there's probably my least favorite part of the movie, which is the mayor and his wife, who is just this insane fucking cartoon character of a fucking nonsense bitch.
Yeah.
That acts...
just ridiculous, over the top, and she's like talking about Oprah's kids and being like, oh, they're so cute and all this stuff, and then she's like, your kids are so clean, you want to be my maid? And Oprah's like, hell no. And then she's like, what did you say? Hell no. And then the mayor's like, what did you say to my wife? And she says like, hell no. And then he smacks her across the face, because you could do that back then.
Yeah.
But Oprah, having no part of it and being a fucking badass, knocks him the fuck out.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Full on fist knocks him down.
And the whole time, Larry Fishburne is like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Because, God damn it, don't do it.
Yeah, because then what happens is you cut to 8 years later, she's beaten to hell.
Yeah.
Gray hair.
And like a limp. Like they broke her leg. Like they beat the fuck out of her.
They beat the fuck out of
her. Her eyes fucked up now. Yeah. Like it's like fucking weird and like Forrest Whitaker-y.
Yeah.
And then now she has to be their fucking maid.
Yeah.
Just they like she said, hell no. Maid. Yeah.
And the lady's like this crazy drive. This whole fucking driving scene.
Also,
it's
a lot of
comedy
in
nonsense.
That. Yeah. All comedy in that.
All like, but just really broad and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we do get the important scene where Celie helps her, where Whoopi helps her.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good scene.
Yeah.
But it is a... It comes to play later. Like her character just really bothered me, because it did feel like they dropped a weird cartoon character into the middle of this very serious, like, down-to-earth movie.
But it's... You know what I like about that? It's the Django thing. It is because it's always been the black people were, like, the cartoon characters in those old movies.
That's fair.
So to make it the white people the cartoon characters, it gives more, like, the humans, the more humanity to... You know, the black people and stuff like that.
I guess.
Yeah. You associate more with them if the white people are all fucking crazy.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's I guess, a fair, like, cinematic point. But it still feels weird.
And out of place. Yeah.
Out of place. Especially watching it from the today.
Oh, yeah. 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 You know what would have been cool in this movie?
Lord of the Rings stuff?
Elf? Yes, Lord of the Rings stuff, of course. But also, if Whoopi Goldberg was paired up with a dinosaur that then helped her solve crimes and maybe get out of the house.
Yeah, I mean, if you added a dinosaur to the dynamic, I feel like the dinosaur would help protect her from Danny Glover.
A wisecracking dinosaur.
Or what if Danny Glover was a dinosaur?
Oh, she married Theodore Rex.
She marries Theodore Rex. I mean, there was clearly sexual tension there the whole
Obviously,
movie.
Obviously, yeah, clearly. Yeah.
So she marries Theodore Rex.
One unmustached Theodore Rex.
I mean, he's obviously much older than her because he is from the Jurassic period.
Yeah, he's like 10,000 years, 10 yeah, million 10 years
million
old.
10 million years old or whatever. 65 million years, wasn't that the Jurassic Park fucking tagline?
Yeah, you're right. 65 million, yeah.
So
she marries a
much
big
older dinosaur man.
Swings his tail around, knocks her around and shit.
Really just brutal. Can't really reach her with the arms, luckily. Yeah. But that tail does a lot of damage.
Yeah, he does it. He has a glove hand thing when he grabs food and he eats it. He just mashes it into that hole in his face, but his fingers bent back because it's just a glove. That old puppet thing that they used to do. Yeah. So she's married to them.
You're envisioning a Theodore Rex like puppet playing the husband.
Oh yeah, of course.
I was envisioning the Jurassic Park dinosaur.
Oh, like an actual like full on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 40-foot tall.
Yeah.
T. I mean, not 40 feet, but T. Rex, a full T. Rex that she's.
But no, let's go puppet style.
Okay. Yeah, we go animatronic, half guy in a suit, 14 dudes behind having to fucking control everything in there. All the blinking and all that shit.
Sure.
Yeah, she marries, and he's still wisecracking, though, and still wears a big Hawaiian shirt because big fat party animal.
He was indeed
yeah.
a big fat party animal.
Was he the only dinosaur? We talked about this. Was he the only dinosaur in that movie?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. Okay. No. It was a
world where dinosaurs
was a bright and humans style.
Coexisted to some degree.
Okay. Yeah. It would have been cool if he was the only dinosaur, and then they would just made him a cop. We have one
like
dinosaur.
Savage Dragon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they find this crazy strong alien, and they're just like, I don't know, you want to be a cop or whatever?
He's like, yeah, I do. All right, cool. That's it. We have one.
We have one crazy alien guy, and he's going to be part of the Chicago PD.
Yeah,
whatever.
Let's throw him in there. He's out in the streets.
Yeah, he's a strong guy. He's tough.
He could get killed at any time. We could lose the one that we have
the
at
one
any
alien,
time.
Yeah.
No, he's out there in the fucking ghetto and shit, fighting crime. Yeah, in this one, he just owns that giant house, and he has six kids, also dinosaur kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're unruly. Are they those dinosaurs that spit acid things?
Yeah. See, in typical 80s, like, dinosaur TV show or even cartoons and stuff like that, he's like a Triceratops. No, he's a T-Rex dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah.
But his kids, just like Triceratops
random
fucking
other
dinosaurs.
Matters. So actually what I'm now envisioning is the dad from Dinosaurs.
Oh yeah.
See? If he was the Danny Glover part
now
and
then, the kids are the kids from Dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Harpo, instead of being that dude, is the baby from Dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Not the mama.
Yeah, the not the mama baby. Because clearly that's the first fucking line he says
in
the movie.
Yeah, not the mama. Yeah, it's true.
And he throws a brick
Holy
in her
shit,
face.
Shit, that makes sense. Yeah, that's the first line he says, not the mama. So, all right, then we're doing that. But at the same time, still, all the raping 14-year-olds and the beating and all that stuff.
Oh, that's clearly still there.
Yeah, just animatronic puppets, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And wisecracking.
Wisecracking.
He does a lot of drinking, though, at the juke joint.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's also a lot of throwback jokes to, like, oil and, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, being funny like dinosaur jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Funny dinosaur jokes about how they're all going to die.
Yeah, yeah. How they're all going to become extinct and ice age jokes
exactly.
And shit like that. Maybe even
jokes
like,
about mammals, those crazy little critters crawling around.
Yeah, I don't like them. Yeah. I don't know what they are. Maybe you throw in some Flintstones jokes, like, it's a living. Like some
what
other.
What if this is just the Flintstones, but Fred is constantly beating Wilma?
Oh, my God. But they're still, their appliances are all dinosaurs.
Of course, yeah.
Clearly. I feel like the Flintstones was really close to Fred just beating Wilma all the time. Yeah.
Well, it was based on the Honeymooners, right? And wasn't his whole catchphrase about beating the shit out of his wife?
The most famous catchphrase in that show was his using space travel as a metaphor for beating his wife.
Yeah, that's right.
One of these days, that was his whole thing.
One of these days, I will beat you so hard.
I'm going to knock you to the fucking moon.
Yeah.
That is, and they were also always drunk. And they were like garbage men or something. What were they?
I believe so.
Yeah, right? So just blue collar guys.
They were up to a lot of schemes.
They were always up to schemes.
Yeah.
Half of them ending in, I am going to beat you so hard that you are going to think you're on the moon.
Because he's mad that his schemes did not go right.
Yeah. His
Nothing
own
to
stupid
do with her.
Schemes. All she ever did in the show was tell him that he was wrong.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't going to work.
And she was always right.
And it was always,
I mean, that's
like,
her problem. Don't be right.
Yeah. To be fair, he never actually beat her. He just threatened to beat her a lot.
I mean, we never saw him beat her.
That's true. He could have been beating her the whole time.
The whole time.
And also raping her, because apparently that shit happened behind closed doors all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we saw this in the Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That also happened in that movie.
Also, yeah. Pretty brutal.
And that was later on. And that was still like, it was in the 40s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Still happening.
Still happening.
Yeah.
So, happy times.
Yeah, dinosaur times.
Dinosaur happy times. No, so anyways, we skip ahead and eventually we get to a point where Whoopi finds the letters from her sister. Turns out her sister's been writing her letters the entire time. Shug comes back. They discover the letters.
Yeah.
Because Shug's not afraid to check the mailbox, whereas Whoopi will not because Danny Glover
will beat her. He told her that he fixed it, so he finds out if she messed with it. Yeah.
That he will like kill her. And
he just does that to keep the letters from her.
Exactly. And so it turns out her sister's been writing her letters the whole time. Her sister, turns out right after she left the farm, met up with the foster parents of
her two kids. Who she thought one of them was dead. She thought she had seen the other.
That's right.
And earlier on when she was a little girl.
Turns out she had.
Yeah.
They're both alive. All, like, the four of them and her sister go to Africa as part of a missionary group.
Yeah.
And then they live in Africa for like 20 years.
And then we spend 15 minutes learning about her plight in Africa.
Yeah.
Which, again, very weird very and odd. Out of place.
Yeah.
Other than
and
to,
it's weirdly no. like cut back and forth with like stuff that Whoopi's going on and like reading about it.
Yeah, she's reading then... about it, but it's a lot of like, they're building a railroad and they cut through the village and they tore. Unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe I get that things are not great for people in Africa either.
I suppose so.
Like, it's like the white man's fucking them up over there. White man's fucking them up over here. No, well, it's not even the white man over here. I mean, it is, but. For Oprah, but for Whoopi, it's Danny Glover.
Yeah.
But it's a weird scene where they didn't deviate from the book, where they probably should have.
Yeah.
A little more. But it's cool.
It's cool. It's just really weirdly out of place.
Yeah. And I also get the Whoopi Goldberg's whole thing about like, oh, I can imagine my sister with the like giraffes and like all that stuff. And that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's a weird time to inject 10 minutes worth of Africa stuff.
Yeah. And then she almost kills Danny Glover, and then Shug stops her, and then
she was
going to
slice
together.
His fucking throat.
Which, fair enough.
Yeah, then I really wanted it to happen.
Yeah, the end of movie right there. We would have saved 30 minutes.
Yeah,
so,
throw him in the river and you're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to look for him. Then they leave.
No, it's a great scene where Shug is like, hey, I'm leaving. They're eating like, I don't know.
It's like Thanksgiving or
something.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving or something like that. They're eating dinner and Shug is like, hey, me and my husband are leaving, and Danny Glover's disappointed because he's in love with her. And then she's like, and we're taking Celie with us. We're taking Whoopi. And then he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're not taking her. And then Whoopi has this great scene where she's finally like, you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Until you do right by me, like I will be your curse and all that stuff. So strong is this speech that Oprah comes back from her catatonic state.
Yeah.
And she's like, God damn it, this is all I need to hear. And then she starts eating biscuits.
Yeah,
and
she
starts
just being her old self.
She's like, yeah, Sophia is back.
Yeah.
I'm back, baby. Like, that's all she needed the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. She just needed a strong black woman to stand up and like, whatever. I don't know.
And then put a knife to his fucking throat again.
Yep.
She puts a knife to his throat. And it's a very awesome, empowering scene.
Yeah.
And they leave, and she's got this whole scene where she's like, doesn't matter, you know, because he tells her like, you're ugly, you're black, you're a woman, you're poor, you don't know anything, like what are you gonna do? And then she gets in the back of the car and she's like, I may be poor, I may be a woman, and I may not know what I'm gonna do, and I may be ugly, but I'm here, like I'm in this car now, I'm here. And they ride off,
and which is great. And then somehow she does survive for like 8 years. Fine,
seems successful.
We don't know how.
Yeah, again, end of the movie, because we jump ahead to Danny Glover is a fucking shit show.
Yeah, he's just a drunk, like his place is fucking falling apart.
He's passed out on moonshine with goats and chickens
just
and shit.
All over the place.
Yeah, his dad comes in and tells him like, come on, man, what the fuck, bro?
He's an embarrassment to his son, who's now back together with Oprah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's getting drunk in the fucking, in the juke joint and stuff. He's just a shell of a man.
And then we cut even further, and now Whoopi's dad is dead. Celia's dad is dead.
So it's a funeral where
you find out it wasn't actually her father, and her
which,
real
again,
father
should have been a fucking bigger deal.
Should have been a big deal. Her real father left her the house, left her everything. So now she has this
property.
Like property in this house. Opens up her own clothing store. I guess she was good at clothes.
She did knit a lot of stuff. And remember when she was going to leave with Shug the first time, that she grabs all her knitting shit?
She does, yeah. I suppose, the one clue that she's good
at
like clothes.
Exactly.
But she has her own clothing store. Danny Glover now has kind of cleaned up. Like, his place is sort of back together.
Yeah, he's grown a beard.
He's got
like
a beard.
Said. So no, he's a good guy.
Now he's a good guy. So he decides to take the money he saved and help her sister
come back from Africa.
Because there was a whole issue with like immigrations and stuff like that. And so then they have a tearful reunion. You feel, oh, okay, end of movie again.
Again, not the end of the movie.
Not the end of the movie, because then they have a scene. So there's a subplot running with Shug that her father's the preacher who does not approve of her.
Of singing.
Well, yes.
And her singing lifestyle.
She was a loose woman.
She had loose morals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're over at the juke joint singing and having a good time. They hear the choir at the church. And the entire juke joint decides to go over to the church singing gospel.
That is a weird, unnecessary scene.
And then they hug.
Yeah, then they, all of a sudden they're good. They're good again.
Actually, I think that happens before the sister reunites. But
yeah, you're right. But does. Still,
either way, there's a lot of
endings. Yeah, to this
there's a lot of unnecessary crap.
It's a lot of finishing up story arcs that I was like, I didn't need to know how that ended. No. In fact, part of the point of Shug should have been that
her whole thing was that she was like, the reason Whoopi Goldberg was enamored with her to begin with was that she did whatever she wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
She was a free spirit.
Exactly. So to have her be so hung up on this getting approval from her father, a little betraying.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And unnecessary. So we go through all these endings. There's a lot of ending points in this movie that are not endings.
Whoopi Goldberg's kids, despite being raised by Americans, speak no English.
No, they speak African, whatever language, whatever country they were in, that's the language that they speak.
Yeah.
Even though her sister was schooling them.
Right. They were there as a missionary teaching Africans about religion.
Yeah.
And
why?
You teach them English. Yeah.
Instead,
and also, again, her foster parents, the people that they thought were their actual parents, were Americans.
Yeah. So why would they not fucking know any English?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah. And then again, unnecessary. You didn't have to do that.
No.
You could have done that with his wife. The son's wife.
The wife could obviously, just been because she's African. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. And then it ends with them like playing patty cake.
Yes, yeah, because that was a thing that bonded them when they were very young.
And we did get the line from Shug about the color purple.
Yeah, and that
guy would get pissed if you walk by a field of purple, the color purple, and not notice it. Yeah. And I mean, it's a nice
sentiment. God wants you to appreciate the beautiful things in life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a very good movie. It's got some weird issues going back to it. I think, and we had the same thing with A Field of Dreams.
The Sacrament issue, which
won a lot of awards and is credited as one of the best movies ever made, but it gets very saccharine and kind of by the end and you know not its own fault, but a lot of cliches that kind of hit on that. Yeah.
So yeah, we get this movie then.
Performances, man.
Great performances, very well directed. Again, nominated for 11 Academy Awards. Did not win Best Picture.
Zero awards.
Out of Africa won Best Picture because the Academy loves movies about Africa as long as it's about white people.
Oh my God. So the movie, so this movie gets nominated for 11 Academy Awards, a shit ton of awards. Nominations, I should
say. Sure.
Gets nominated for Best Picture. Out of Africa is about a rich white woman that somehow made it in Africa and that wins Best fucking Picture.
Yeah.
They're African women.
In fairness, we talked about that movie. It's good.
It is pretty good. Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
But really, a rich white woman making it in Africa, they are poor white women making it in Africa. You know what I mean? Like,
It is,
again, reminds you that back in 1985, just like now, the Academy is made of old white straight men.
I don't know what you're talking about. Moonlight won last year.
That's true. That had nothing to do with the year before when they got a lot of shit for not nominating black people.
No, of course not.
But no, has nothing to do with overcompensation.
No.
No. But yeah, it won zero fucking awards. When really, I mean, it should have, at the very least, Best Supporting Actress.
For Oprah?
Yeah. For Oprah, yeah. At the very least, you give this movie at least Best Supporting Actress.
I could see that.
Best adapted screenplay, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, if you do it now. But, Spielberg doesn't even get the nomination?
No, strangely enough.
Crazy. When was the first time he got nominated?
I have no idea.
No, he was nominated for Raiders of the Lost Ark, wasn't he?
I mean, he should have been. It's the greatest freaking movie.
Yeah. I think, was that, Was that nominated for Best Picture at all?
No, I'm sure it wasn't. Yeah. It's a genre adventure film. Of course it wasn't.
Yeah, of course not.
Despite clearly being the best film of that year.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we'll talk about it when we get to the fucking top 10.
That's right. Because audiences knew what's up.
Yeah, exactly. So, very good movie.
Very good movie.
The performances make it.
Yep.
I think. Very well directed. The comedy in it is very good. The drama in it is very strong. Yeah. I'm glad we had to see it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm glad we were we forced ourselves to see it by setting up the rules for this podcast.
Yeah.
That we would watch all the top grossing movies.
Yeah. It took us a while to see it, actually. We skipped a week because it was just a lot of like, I don't know if I want to sit down and watch it.
Watched 3 hours of fucking sadness. And
there was this great moment of glee when Harpo is building the fucking juke joint and there's just a raft with a piano on it and he's like pulling it.
Oh, yeah,
and,
that's great.
And Larry Fishburne is fucking playing the piano. Oh, it's the coolest thing I've ever fucking seen.
It is pretty much the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, just playing a piano on a fucking raft in a fucking swamp.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking great.
It is one of those things that's like Huck Finn. It's like Huck Finn's.
Very Huck Finn.
Yeah. Fever dream. Where he's just imagining, like, oh, what's going to go on today? And it's just a guy in a piano comes by and floats by him.
Very much like you would expect to see that on, like, a Disney ride in, like, that New Orleans quarter. Oh, yeah.
Or maybe, like, there's, like a crocodile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, an alligator is playing it, playing the piano.
Exactly, like Princess and the Frog.
He's
playing the piano. It's a crocodile.
Fun little cartoony thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Very good.
I really, really like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Also, we talked about how we wanted to go to one of those churches.
Oh, yeah. Singing churches?
Yeah, those singing churches.
I want to see one very badly.
Be Forrest Gumping it in there. Yeah. Just singing along. And
or like Belushi and Blues Brothers. Start backflipping and shit.
Yeah, go all out. You can.
I have seen the light.
Yeah, it can't turn you away. It's a church.
Yeah, they can't do it.
No. All you got to do is dress nice.
Yep.
And if you're a lady, wear a big hat.
Wear a big, big hat.
Yeah, a giant church hat.
And giant church hat.
And then you get to sing along and it's all like jubilation.
Very festive.
Is what it is. Yeah. I want to go to one of those churches. We should have gone when we went to New Orleans.
We really should have.
But nope.
Sorry, New Orleans.
All we did was drink.
All we did was drink and party and listen to awesome music and eat amazing food.
Yeah. And now I want to go back more than anything in the fucking world.
All right. So speaking of like singing and dancing and jubilation, next week we're going to be back with another dancing movie.
You know how much we love dancing movies.
Oh, yeah.
Flashdance.
We love those dancing movies.
Yep.
So we'll be talking about Flashdance next week. Before we go, we've said that we do like this movie quite a great deal.
Yeah.
But I think we can make it better.
How do we fix it? Other than the dinosaur thing.
Other than the dinosaurs and the elves. And, of course, our Lord and Savior, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
How do we fix this movie? All right. So Whoopi Goldberg's character, she gets raped as a 13-year-old.
Obviously.
It's very sad, very crazy. What if?
Wait, do you go full Django on this?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Full Django. What if her son grows up to be Django-ish?
Or we just, all right, so she has this terrible, let's just forget about like this being a serious drama or even like comedic drama. We go straight from like the first 30 minutes is like rape, beat, rape, beating, beatings, rape, beating, beating, rape.
Yeah. In that order.
And then in that order. And then the last hour and 15 minutes, we cut forward like 20 years, maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg, shaved head, like fucking jacked as shit. Like I'm talking fucking jacked. Like tattoos, fucking scars. We introduce her. We go to the time skip, and she's like doing the pull ups from Sarah Connor. And
oh
Terminator
yeah,
2.
Terminator 2.
She's
yeah,
fucking ripped.
It's that moving shot across when she's doing pull ups. Yeah,
and she like drops down. She has like fucking swords, guns. Like, she's got a horse in fucking armor.
Yeah, this would be like the 40s. So it's Tommy guns.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Horse and armor. Go on.
I like that too, right? Yeah. And then the rest of the movie is just like a fucking Death Wish, Django Unchained, revenge flick of her just finding all the dudes that did her wrong and just killing them brutally.
Not even like the dudes that did her wrong, but just dudes that are doing it wrong.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
She hunts down dudes for all the ladies.
Yeah, for all the, exactly. Just helps out ladies and shoots other fucking guys that are beating chicks and shit like that. And
yeah.
Guns them all down. Maybe a lot of cool like one-liners when she cuts her head off and shit like that.
And then culminating
to like Danny Glover.
That's the ending one?
Yeah, that's the last one. Yeah. And he is also kind of ripped too.
Oh yeah, Danny Glover's a ripped dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's running some shit. He's running some underground shit now.
Oh
like,
yeah.
He's leading some criminal enterprising shit.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, after Harpo built the bar or the juke joint, as I like to call it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say sex trade.
Oh, sex. Oh,
like running a whorehouse
really ties it in, and it's underage sex trade.
Underage sex trade. Yeah, he's running a whorehouse where he's beating all those girls and like that, and then. She finally
busts in,
shows up,
fucking Tommy gun.
Yeah, tearing it up. All his henchmen are coming after her. She's fucking knocking them all one by one, taking them all out until like you get to him and he's the baddest.
And Suge in this version is like a young girl that he's been like beating and raping.
Yeah.
At the end, Whoopi saves her and then they kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be very progressive too.
Yeah. Very progressive.
And also like they light Harpo's on fire.
Oh yeah. And then they walk away in slow motion. Yeah. As it's like burning
behind
them.
They're like
them.
On the horse together, yeah. Riding away from the fucking fire that's burning behind them. And it's just like going down the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you, you cut to like Danny Glover's burnt and shot body floating down the river.
Yeah.
And then slowly sinking.
Okay. So, yeah, I would say somehow, because of the moonshine, she shoots him, goes straight through, lands on the moonshine, knocks over all the oil lamps, bam.
A fire.
Yeah. Big explosion from his being shot with a shotgun in the fucking chest.
I like it.
Yeah. Then they ride off. Everything is burning behind them. Right off into the sunset, just being badasses.
She could be like, I'll give you a shave. And then she kills him with a straight razor that she gave him a shave with earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you like being shaved?
Yeah.
Seems like your beard is coming out a little thick. And then,
yeah,
bam.
There you go.
And then, boom. But you still have to explode the Harpo's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's still blowing up.
Yeah. Blows up, riding away, fucking fire behind him. And then, bam, like the sound of a fucking whip cracking, and then a badass song comes out.
Yep.
Something super 70s exploitation.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's just groovy as hell.
Fuck yeah. About a badass woman kicking some badass ass.
Yep.
All right. I like that. Yep. I like that quite a bit.
I do too. I will be remaking this movie.
Yeah. That's how we fix this movie. You just turn it into a fucking Foxy Brown. Surprisingly, we did not turn it into a Stallone movie.
I mean, it could have been.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah, I guess so. Or a Schwarzenegger movie. Yeah. Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the end of our podcast.
Yeah, if you like this, or even if you don't, please subscribe and rate and review and tell your friends and share and all that crap. We're on Facebook. Please follow us there. Blockbuster Nostalgia. Yeah, you know, iTunes, all that stuff. Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landi.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you. Until you spoke to me. Oh, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak to me. And hear my mind. Speak, Lord. Oh, with your word. Speak to me. Hear my soul. Speak, Lord. Oh, speak, Lord. Speak to me. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me.